Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Hey, it's Mike Whiteside with Black Dog Salvage.
And Tay Whiteside, and we're on the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Hey, good to be here, eh?
Wow.
Good to be
I feel like we need to do this entire podcast recording standing because we are in the midst of greatness.
Yeah.
If I left my crown at home, for God's sakes. We're not all that. We did have a show for a while, but we've been in business 22 years.
We try really hard. We're really good triers.
Yeah.
That's
good effort.
That's our accolade. Yeah,
not for lack of effort, as we always said. We put it in whether we fail or not.
In fact, probably too much effort.
Sometimes you don't know. When is too much too much?
And, they'll tell you.
We figured it out.
So we have been watching 11 seasons of you, gentlemen, and your team.
So you're the ones.
Great
team.
Yeah.
We heard somebody.
Going out. We are the ones.
We heard somebody watch the whole thing.
These are our last two fans.
Man, this is it.
Is this our swan song?
Swans could sing.
Thank you for that. It's always good to hear that, folks kind of watch it and kind of follow it and also inspire by it because of saving stuff and then recycling, upcycling, repurposing. That's kind of the, everybody thinks it's rocket science. It's really not. It's just having something that makes you passionate, and you see the value of it, of something old being kept out of the landfill.
And Mike, that's what I like when I watch the videos of you, of your team coming into a building and you start taking apart the building. And it's almost like you find a building inside the building that was repurposed hundreds of years ago. And it's almost like upcycling is not new, right?
No. Repurposing has been going on, or upcycling has been going on since, the caveman days, probably. Somebody hit somebody with a bone, and then they picked it up and said, "This looks like a hammer," So now we're repurposing. But it's been going on forever, and we call it the mark of man when we find pieces in a house or a building that wasn't originally there, it was something else. The pioneers and the settlers were very, very
resourceful
and efficient because it cost a lot of effort and manpower to recreate something. So if they had something in an old building, they would pull a piece out and then use it as a joist or a rafter or something. And so they didn't have to recreate it. So the energy has been saved, both money. Of course, they didn't have a whole lot of carbon footprint problems back then. Quite the opposite.
They were starting it.
Yeah. You'll find signatures hey, what's that notch doing there? Well, it wasn't originally here. It was in another barn. And we love that.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's great. I love the history part of it.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big thing for me. Any type of history, connection to the past, to know that no one has seen behind that board in X number of years.
Yeah.
And you're the first one to pull that board off and see the signature on the wall. Like that's, or find that little hidden thing that fell behind the mantle. That's amazing. Like you've got a piece of history.
It's ironic that you find that stuff too, because stuff built back then wasn't meant to be taken apart. It was built to be there for whatever forever meant to those guys, and girls. So the fact that we were behind mantles and wall trim and door trim, things that were installed with copious amounts of nails and adhesives. After 100 years of being there.
Right. And sometimes it releases and sometimes it doesn't. But, respecting the history of a building and the people who lived there was always something that we always kept in front of us because, we weren't represent the wrecking ball, but we were the stopgap between the wrecking ball and the trash can. And so, you know, we were kind of the last best hope for this stuff to be reused. And then, you know, of course, once you get it and put it in your warehouse and clean it and love it and insure it, and then you hope that you can sell it, you know, because getting it's not the hard part. There's more salvage out there than I'll be able to do in my lifetime, Tay's lifetime, and the next generation, because it's still there's still a lot of people out there that really enjoyed pulling that stuff and appreciated and understood the provenance of this wood. You know, this is pre-blight chestnut or something of that nature. And, you know, even the old poplar wood back then was beautiful. And you look at that going like, well, you're not going to find that at a big box store. And so you put a value on it, not just a money value, but an antique value and a commodity value, and now you're able to market it and say, okay, you know, you want a table or some shelves built, and here's what I'm pulling from. I'm not going to go to the big box stores, and we won't name any of them because they're not paying for any advertising today.
They know what they are.
Y'all know who big box are, who they represent. Yeah. And so it's a cycle. And once you put that back into the system, so to speak, and it becomes something else, then it's got the next chapter begins with it. And that carries it to, a generation or two down the line, and then it'll either get thrown away or it'll get, you know, done again. So it's kind of a never ending process, hopefully.
It's awful poetic of you, man.
Well, you know, I do wax poetic every once in a while.
Upcycling is our modern version of what's been going on forever.
Yeah.
You know, and people like you guys at Upcycle Canada and here in Roanoke at Black Dog, it's part of the greater awareness, I guess. People have to turn to people like us to learn how to upcycle and why you should upcycle and other ways to upcycle. So keep upcycling.
And the value of it. That's, you know, people used to think, well, I can't believe you're asking that for that piece of wood. And I said, well, let me explain a few things. I used to get up on my soapbox and preach a little bit, but I've gotten a lot tamer these days. And I said, well, I hear that Walmart's going to have a truckload of this stuff coming in next week, so I would hold off for that. And they don't really think that's very funny, but it's the truth. It's, you can't find this stuff. And if you can, somebody has taken it out and spent the time, the money to do that. And one thing our show did, it showed what it took, you know, blood, sweat, and tears just to get a door out or a window or something that is part of the contract that we put together. And that's that really opened people's eyes to the process. And even if I'm jumping in a dumpster to get something, I jumped in a dumpster. And I love jumping in dumpsters. You know, before the truck comes, you know, because, and we've done, you know, I do my fair share of it. I don't do as much as I used to because sometimes I can't get out. But it's education of history and the value of architectural salvage is that what the show put on.
Excellent. So Mike, take us back to the early days of Salvage Dogs and Black Dog Salvage. How the story started for people who might be listening, maybe, or viewing this for the first time, new fans for the show, which we would love to have and include. But take us back to the early days and just kind of how this all started so that people can kind of get a sense of how this began.
Well, my wife and I moved up to Roanoke with our two little kids. Tay was four, I think, maybe. Anyway.
Something like that.
And yeah. I didn't have anything to do. I was a professional yacht captain by trade, so I was running all over the world, and I wanted to settle down a little bit. And we ended up here, and I need a garage built. So third hand, I got Robert Culp, who is my business partner now in Black Dog. And basically, we had a lot in common, both former Navy and just love the antiquities. And I don't know why I said it, but I said, I'm thinking about starting a salvage company. He told me about a house in its 11th hour, probably one of the best houses we've ever done. I had a truck, I had a forklift, and we had a little building we were renting to show it. It was a failed business that we were doing. So we had the components, and we had a black dog. So we bought the salvage. Well, you know, truth in advertising. We And that was I'll tell you that in a second. But we paid, we did our negotiation. This was early days of eBay. We went off and did our little research. We divided up the items and just did some research. And we're like, what could this be worth? Because we didn't know. Came back, offered $7,000, I think, for the house. And the guy took it. And we had 3 weeks to take it out. Take the whole house if we wanted, but it was coming down. And we asked the guy later on, said, what would you have taken? He said, I'd taken five. I said, okay, that's a lesson right there. So you learn what people will take and negotiating and that kind of thing. But that was we trucked it over to the warehouse that we had, a little shop, and just to store it. And I didn't have a sign on the building. We weren't in business. This was not a thought-out venture. So we had a sign that was on the building that didn't mean anything anymore to the public. And so we took it down, used some black paint and a brush, and put salvage on it in big black letters, put it back up. The paint was still running. You know how it is when the paint runs down, you know. It was still, and somebody comes in before I even got the ladder in. It said, you got salvage in there. I said, yeah. And that was the start. I guess we're in business, you know, and then eventually we had to open our doors to the public. So I was doing banker's hours, 10 to 2 to start. But the way the name came along was we're standing there trying to figure out what to call this thing, like Southwest Virginia's Architectural Salvage Emporium.com. And that was a little wordy.
Yeah.
And Susie, my wife, comes in and says, why don't you call it Black Dog Salvage? Because Molly, our first black dog, was always with me. And it's like, ding, you know, there's that's worth $100,000 on Madison Avenue right there. Just that kind of branding. And it, and then the logo came along for the graphic artist in town. And there you are. That was the inception. So I always say we had a starter kit, a house, a truck, a forklift, and a black dog. And that was
all it takes.
That's all it takes, guys. And
that's
then
all
just,
it takes.
You know, cash and you know, muscle.
A little bit of blood, a little bit of sweat and tears.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, that comes without it. You know, that's a foregone conclusion. We're going to believe, but, you know, hopefully it doesn't put you in the hospital, which knock on wood, we've never gone to the hospital. Yeah. That's you know. That's,
even though sometimes you probably should have gone to the hospital.
Well, maybe, but, you know, it's duct tape and.
Duct tape's really good.
It goes a long way. Yeah. It really does. You know, we call it in the Navy, call it 1,000-mile-an-hour tape. You know, just never go anywhere without it. I don't care what you're doing. You gotta have your roll of tape. So you can do a lot of stuff with it. That and a leather.
There you go.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that really, really are pretty necessary.
Yeah. So I've heard that if you have a WD-40 for things that are stuck that are supposed to move.
Yeah.
And then duct tape for things that are moving that aren't supposed to move. Right. So you have those two things in your toolkit, you're pretty well good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you home. That's what I always, you know, I was being an old mariner. You know, you got to get home. You're out there in the middle of the water going like, you know, tape that thing up. Let's get home. We'll figure it out later.
So a couple of the episodes that really stand out to me, as I remember back to some of the shows I've watched from you guys, you went to this humongous high school. It was like lockers and lockers for days and days. And the other one was
Trenton.
Trenton, and the other one was the 1 million square foot factory, furniture factory, was it?
Probably were a few, but that was probably Jackson, Tennessee.
That was probably the first one. That was Mayodan. That was the Washington Mill. And that was early.
Because it was pitch black, and you guys had to like pull stuff to the outside, and it was like you had like furniture carts and things you were pulling out of there.
Yeah, that was definitely Mayodan. You know, it was one of our first ones, and it was awesome. I mean, three floors of just riches.
Amazing.
You know, early stuff. You know, no elevators. You know, and of course we did a makeshift elevator, which one of them failed, and it.
Oh, that was the when you dropped all the chairs down the elevator.
Yeah,
shaft.
I've been pushing stuff down this shaft, and letting it go down for all day, and then finally one got caught. And it was pretty funny that, you know, all you saw was me going, oh, I screwed the pooch on that one. And then all the chairs on the bottom were just kind of rattling, hitting the ground. About hit one of my cameramen, Gary. He always liked to get up there and shoot, you know, in a tough
harm's way.
Harm's way,
That was one of the best clips ever recorded on the show, yeah. I think, was just that waterfall of destroyed chairs hitting the bottom of that elevator shaft. And there were a few moments throughout filming the show, I think, where we saw the clip and go, sort of, not to say they were eureka moments, but moments where we were like, oh, this show is going to be pretty funny.
That makes good TV,
yeah,
by the way.
That was great TV.
Because people, you know, they tried to make it a, Bill Hayes tried to make it a guy show, and you know, destruction and tools and all this stuff, and then nobody would buy it. And then we finally got it, Trailblazer Studios, who finally kind of put the format together and softened it up a little bit and made it more palatable to everyone. And so that was kind of the, you know, we got to have a little destruction, but we got to be able to recoup time. You know, we're not just tearing it up. We're really have a purpose to save it if we can. And but accidents happen, you know, and they seem to happen to me.
Seem to. Well, like you're a passenger.
Well, you know, I am. I'm my own passenger on this marble running through space. You know, it's just
why does this always happen to me?
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's karma, man. I don't know. I always tell people I was a pirate in another life. You know, why'd you ever start this business? Well, I used to pillage back in the day in my other life, you know. But I wasn't a good pirate like Blackbeard or, you know, one of the famous ones. I was like, you know, had a well, we won't go into all that.
Well, history's written by those who wrote it.
Those who win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on the losing side of that. You know, I mean, we can go off on that tangent in another story.
So, Tay,
yes.
For you growing up in a salvage world and seeing your father and seeing the business start and growing up in this, you now have your own business as well, which is exciting to see. What has the process been for you? Learning about salvage and being a part of this whole TV show, but the whole Black Dog Salvage world. How has this shaped you and your future?
Well, I'm very lucky in that what Dad did and still does was in line with my own natural interests. I feel there are many fathers out there whose sons or daughters get roped into the family business, and it couldn't be further from what they want to do. Luckily, you know, building things, fixing things, operating equipment, using tools. That's who I've been since a wee child. And so it was just naturally, it wasn't a very big ask. You know, I wanted to be around the shop. I wanted to be around the business. Despite, you know, when I was a teenager, all I wanted to do was play video games and drink energy drinks. But
how's that compared to now? No, oh, energy.
It's
no
video energy games and beer now.
Oh, gotcha.
But the appreciation for hard work was instilled at a young age, and I still appreciate that because that's the only way, if you are dumb enough to build your business around your passion, the only way you can make it work is if you're willing to work harder than the other people who tried to do the same thing. At least it certainly helps to be able to out. You know, I meet people all the time. They're like, yeah, I started a welding business, but then I gave up on it. And I'm like, why? How badly did you want to do that? It sounds like you were just kind of half-assed in it. But so architectural salvage isn't my innate passion, but all the stuff around, that's Dad's ringtone, the dog barking. Real professional. No.
Sorry, guys. Hey, this is reality, you know?
That's right.
I don't know that we've hung out in the past 5 years or your phone hasn't rung at some point during the...
You know, every time it's like a lawyer, you know, when the phone rings, there's money to be made.
Or lost.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep the cup half full kind of thing.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, that's part of being a business owner, too. You got to answer your phone no matter who do you think's calling.
Well, yeah, there's somebody. Yeah. I mean, that's happened more than once. I mean, we won't get off on that. But, you got to open your doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Tay opened his door for his business. You know, you have to have, if you have a business, you got to be accessible unless you're got a government contract. You know, I mean, you're beholden to the public to come, you know, sing your praise and give you their money. And that's what, you know, answering the phone is, hey, I'm out here. What can I do for you today?
That's right.
Let's create something.
Well, and Black Dog is a retail business, meaning people can just walk in anytime. I 2 years ago, officially, and a little longer than that, started a my own custom metal fabrication studio in downtown Roanoke, not but a few minutes away. And I'm not necessarily open to the public. It's really just a shop with an office. So walk-ins are not the norm. And of course, I'm on social media heavily and YouTube and all that. So that's where a lot of my business comes, is just email and phone calls. And I might meet with customers to see exactly what they want me to build, but then I'll build it and then deliver it to them. So I don't have to deal with the general public very often, which is by design.
Yeah, retail's tough. Yeah. You guys got a retail location, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Right.
Y'all are open to the public?
Yep.
We are. And actually...
how's it going for you? How's that working for you?
Well, before, because we'd been in business kind of doing shows and events just, you know, outside of the home in different cities in the neighborhood and since 2014. And then people started calling us and messaging us saying, when can I pick up this, or where can I find your location? When are you going to be at the next show? And we realized, like, people starting to shop in our living room, and we're like, okay, something needs to change. Like, we can't have all these people from all over the neighborhood shopping in our house. So we thought it's probably time to move on and open a business. So that's, and then having the business name too, like for you guys as well, like Upcycle Canada is for us is a Canadian wide. Like, we could go anywhere in the country. And even for Black Dog Salvage for yourselves, it's very neutral. It's something you can move around the country anywhere. It's not, you're not stuck in one city or one location for that reason. So, but I know, like, with
I've never been a fan of naming the business, like, you know, Roanoke this or Ontario that, or, you know, cause it definitely pigeonholes you.
Yeah.
Not that I have.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think either of us have the intention of moving anytime soon, but it's just everybody does that, you know, and Roanoke is called the Star City. So here we have Star City Coffee, Star City Fabricators, Star City Roofing, Star City this. I don't know. Just think a little longer about your business name.
Yeah, I mean, we fought the salvage word for a long time. You know, salvagers were considered junk dealers. And, you know,
people still call you guys all the time looking for old car parts.
Auto parts. Yeah. So we'll have fun with that. But it's honesty in what you do. You know, salvage is what we do. Black Dog is our identity. So upcycling is yours as well. So, you know, don't make it too confusing. We used to do billboards back in the day. And everybody's going, like, we get all this text. And I said, nobody's going to read that. You know, put up a Black Dog logo and say big. And then somebody's going, well, what's that all about? There's a number, you know, and or a website. You know, just keep it simple, stupid. You know, and in advertising, you know, you can look at the campaigns that have been successful. And usually they're pretty simple. It's just get their attention. And then, of course, you have to close a deal and create a reputation of being a reputable business person, which, you know, there's obviously people out there that will probably beg to differ with you on my side, but, you know, it's the world. You can't please everybody. And as soon as you learn that, you're ahead of the game, because you're never going to make everybody happy. Never. If you do, then I'd be suspect.
I like how you have giving salvage a new life. Like, that's kind of what you guys, because your name with salvage, we often say yesterday's items reborn, sort of, instead of it being a trash or, you know, garbage theme, it's something that was something yesterday is now being reborn into something new. And it's the same thing. It's salvage. It's taking something and repurposing it and upcycling it to give it a new value and a new identity. So that's kind of where we've always sort of based our reasoning and why we do what we do. And along with making stuff, I know you guys do custom work. Do you guys have something that's kind of one thing or a few things that stand out to you? Because we get a lot of custom orders too, which are quite unique, even just by a photo. And if you guys have something kind of that you've often be like, yeah, that was the best thing we've ever made. Like, do you have something like that?
Well, the best thing that we've ever made is the stuff that made money. Because we've got a couple out there going like, well, that was an interesting piece, but
for sure.
How romantic.
I know. I'm starting to channel Robert here, you know, because he's going like, you know, yeah. I'm I love the one that we made money on, you know.
Yeah.
And because it paid the bills. And of course, there's, gosh, in 20 years, 22 years, there's been a lot. Tay, while he was here and still has been key in putting stuff together and being a part of the process. People want to know these days because the stuff's not cheap. Unless this is cut to the chase. We're not buying garbage. Mm-hmm. I buy garbage. I sell treasures. Yeah. And that's just a mm-hmm. tongue in cheek kind of thing. Going like, you know, I'm gonna buy this. You make your money on the buy. So if you get it right for free or a little bit above that, and you can sell it for a sizable markup, then hey, you get to play again tomorrow. And that's, you know, you just kind of chain because there's no. And we're not a nonprofit, which, you know, going back on the history of our company, we probably should have been because, you know, the laws, tax laws are written for, you know, nonprofit companies. For-profit companies, I always say we're not for-profit, we're not making profit. You know, that was one of those things. This is not an easy business. And if you think it is, then, you know, here, I got some keys for you and some land in Florida I'll sell you. Because it's really hard, and it's hard. I say it's easy to get, but you know, the cost and regulations of doing what we do, just on the basis of, in the simple basis of it is it takes time and money. And you hope that we're still here after 22 years. We obviously did something right. And that's what I'm hoping for Tay. You know, he's 2 years into his new company, and I'm hoping he's got 20 plus years in that. But, you know, you never know what the future holds for anybody. You guys too. You know, y'all are setting a trend, and a trend is really sustainability. That's what people want. They want to know if they're buying something mm-hmm. that it's saved from the landfill, and they love the story.
Well, yeah, that's sustainability is important. Yeah. But it's also people think they can buy sustainability now on Amazon and Wayfair and Overstock and stuff. And they might tell you that you can, but I think what keeps businesses like ours alive are the people that understand what they're buying, who and where it's coming from, and the quality of work. I mean, you have to put your money where your mouth is. When you buy, we build custom stuff. Like I will forever be my own worst critic because I've met hundreds of incredible craftsmen and women and fabricators. And I know that those are the people that I want compliments from. It's fairly easy when you're good at building stuff to impress the public. And there's some people that are good and are happy enough with that, just making people go nuts on Instagram or whatever. But that's nice. But the best thing for me is to meet someone else who builds custom things for a living and they see what I build and go, oh, that's awesome. How'd you do that? That will forever be my goal as a craftsman. Like, you know, if Dad sees something I build, because he's really good at building stuff too, and he's impressed, then that means more than, you know, 1,000 likes on Instagram. And then, so that's the passion, the romantic part. But then, of course, you have to figure out, as Dad says, how to make it ring the cash register. And so, you know, I don't know. Forming a business around your passion is one of the quickest ways to ruin your passion.
Yeah, you like doing it before. Now you got to make a living doing it. That's a completely different story.
Yeah, but and Dad was very cautionary to me about starting a business, and I didn't want to hear half of it because I am stubborn. But he's right, and it's unfortunate that chasing your dreams is a road filled with so many roadblocks and challenges, but I don't know, how passionate are you? It's like a test. You know, it's a test of your passion.
It's not collecting a paycheck. That's for sure. It's doing something that you don't mind waking up every day to do again. And,
that's
worth
a lot.
We're not working in a factory. Every day here is completely different. I mean, obviously there's some common threads that continue every day, but you know, walking into the shop and watching a progress of a piece that's been created. And we've got some great craftsmen. I've got a crew now that, you know, I don't have to be a part of it as much as I used to be. I can kind of be the old grandfather walking around going like, yeah, in my day, yeah, this is what we used to do. You know, this is what will happen. You know, okay, yeah, grandpa, go get a milk. And then come back going like, hey, you were right. And I was like, yeah, old grandpa was right, wasn't he? Yeah. So it's a respect thing. You know, it's the age thing. And you know, Tay, like he said, he didn't want to hear a lot of it. And I'm going like, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's I'm not paying for it. So there you go. And then he now he's in business and he understands, what it takes. And that's truly a key of being in business is understanding that everything counts. And, you know, whether it's just turning the light switch on or paying your rent or, buying a new tool that just broke, it's all accumulative and it's the economics of it. You can play the romance all you want and that's the fun part, but the fundamentals of business and, less out than in and, or more in, less out is, just the flow of it, the cash flow of it. It was, they gave me a hard time one time. Cash flow, what is that? And I said, that's just money flowing, man. I'm going to pay this guy with the money that this guy gave me. And then I'm hoping I break even at the end or make more. So keeping the business part of it going has been Robert's. I've been very fortunate that I'm more the creative part of this business and the wild card, and Robert's more the fundamentals, and I need that because that's not what I do, And Tay's he's had the value of looking at both sides of it, which is nice, learning kind of that part from Robert and the other part, whatever the good part from me.
Well, they're both good.
I'm just kidding. And sorry, Robert.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. He's not here.
He ain't gonna listen either. So there you go. He didn't even know we're here.
Well, and running a shop and meeting, I have friends that tell me all the time they want to come work with me or for me, and some of them have. And these are all people that have told me out loud they're glad they have me because they don't have any interest in running a business, and I'm like, oh, good for you. It's romantic to be the guy. I just want to build stuff. Like, well, yeah, me too. But it takes a lot of business work and business sense to structure your life in a way that allows you to build the things you want to build for money.
Yeah. A paycheck is a wonderful thing, by the way. It's just a wonderful thing.
I haven't had one of those since I worked at Black Dog.
That's right. There you go. You understand that one.
Anyway.
So what I really like, gentlemen, too, on the show is how the show, you start off with Mike will show up with some crazy item that he found and he brought to Black Dog and you guys all talk about it. That was really cool. But then you do the salvage, but then you come back and you do a practical upcycling, repurposing item in the show. The chalkboard comes out, Mike draws and Tay gets it and it happens. And I see your crew and the team come along and make this and take something that you would never, ever figure out, like when you made the bed for Robert's daughter, for example, and you just take these items and you're repurposing and you're giving them a completely different purpose in life, right? That's what we as Upcycle Canada, we're like taking notes and we feel like we're in school with our teachers because we're getting inspired by what you're doing and the fact that you're thinking about how can I take this door and it's, I've got 100 doors, 300 doors, what can I do with this door, right? And you're repurposing and giving it something, a completely new meaning. And that's what inspires us. So I love how each episode is kind of structured around that premise and that visual of seeing you recreate something together. And I love the combination of metal and wood as well. Yeah. It's not all just wood. It's not just all metal, but you blend them really well together. And it's awesome.
It's kind of, yeah, we're not inventing the wheel here. And a lot of people have done it. And of course, I'd be lying if I say I didn't surf Pinterest and get some ideas.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's okay, because truly there's no original designs anymore. It's just rehashing old ones from the Romans and the Greeks and the, we're still copying and using those designs and morphing them into common day. And, you know, there's, I'd like to think that I'm an original, but I'm truly not. I'm just, I see stuff. I mean, I always say I don't see dead people, but I see dead salvage all the time. And hey, you got some dogs
here. Yeah, you can hear them.
Yes.
Yeah.
They like to, that's awesome. Yeah.
They like it, to talk it. While we're recording. So they're barking at the mailman, I think.
Sure. It's perfect. It's perfect. But that was the most, that was the most interesting part of the show, that we, that the ratings, you know, you start watching it, your, which your part of the show is the most interesting, and the build was always, always high, because people like to see that. So they put it towards, at the end of the seasons, they put it on the back end of the show, so people would have to stay.
They'd stick around.
They'd have to spend their 30 minutes with us, you know, and of course, it's all about ratings and. Yeah. And advertising dollars, which we never saw a penny of. But don't get me started on the reality of reality TV. But it was a good thing. And Tay and I and everybody else involved is so proud of 8 years and 11 seasons of this. It's truly a body of work that took a lot of effort, but it was a lot of fun. We got great memories. It will live on you never know who's going to watch it. You guys are watching it in Canada. We got a lot of European countries that air it.
Nice.
The UK, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, so we're kind of, we touch people worldwide, which that's humbling. That's what that is to me, is you got somebody out there from and it was funny because you get little kids coming in here and, you know, they're fans. They're 5 years old and they're fans.
Nice.
And there's their grandfather's there and they watch it too. So, we kind of are a medium to bond. You know, husband and wives can watch it together. It's not just football and cooking shows. It's hey, we can watch this. We can watch Tay get older. You know, I started out old, so Tay had a baby face when he started this thing, and then he grew a beard. So it's kind of fun for me to watch it because Tay was young. You know, you think 8 years,
I was 10 years ago was I think when we started. I was 18. Amazing. Now I'm 28.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
That's crazy.
Grew up on national television, which. Was odd.
It's not something you plan, you know. It's like, it just happens.
It's great.
Yeah. I started out old, so it was all right.
So now
you already knew who you were. I was trying to figure out who
it's
I
tough
was.
To see yourself in high definition, you know, it's 4K because that's a reality check right there. So first thing I did is going like, I got to lose 20 pounds and whiten my teeth. Well, I wipe my teeth pretty easy. The 20 pounds is a little harder, but
So now you guys have a podcast.
Yeah.
And I know this was probably Mike's idea to have the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So,
He's
the first one to bring that up. So tell us about the podcast.
Well, the podcast is a way for us to stay relevant. You know, we're not doing a show anymore. People are saying, hey, we should do the show. I said, no, I'm 66 years old. I'm not going to do the show anymore. And nobody's going to buy it anyway. So there you go. So we're trying to figure out something that's relevant, podcast that everybody and their brother does one.
Yeah.
And so we figured, we got a history and we got a story. We got a brand. Let's throw it out there and see if we can have some fun. That was the editor, Jason. Elias. He's out in California. He says, "I want to do this with you guys, but only if we can have fun." So it's imperative that you enjoy it because it's not controversial. It's just storytelling, and that's something that we've done for our whole life, but especially the show was nothing but storytelling, and podcast just allows us to continue that with interesting people that like yourself and. Other folks that have a story and they want to share it.
You got to have something to talk about too, because everyone and their sister has a podcast now. And many of them probably shouldn't. When you have something that you're already doing that's interesting and the people are interested in, might as well try, you know.
Right.
I mean, I joke that every C-grade television celebrity it's a matter of time before they have their own podcast. So we're just trying to follow the same path.
Well, it's the medium of the day. You know, I'm not a techie. I would listen to podcasts when I was driving, but And that was fairly new. And so it's just a way of Mark Bow told me one time with Barnwood Builders, he says, I'm just trying to stay relevant, Mike. And mm-hmm. and that's true. You know, what I did during when COVID started, I did this thing called the Daily Dog, where I just walk around and talk about stuff. Hey, we're doing this in the shop, or this just came in, or, you know, just trying to stay in people's top of mind thought. And not that we're a primary thing, but when they're wanting to buy something or when they're wanting to sell something, then they think of us. And if not us, then somebody like us, like you guys. So that's part of it. But at the end of the day, it's all about, as Tay said earlier, just keeping the money flowing in and keep the cash register ringing and making stuff. And that's the making stuff is just, that's the fun. That's really where Tay and I kind of have planted our seeds, and we're really having a good time, and y'all been able to enjoy it too, which is fun.
It's great. And the TV show is still on reruns, I guess. We can see it here in Canada on Apple TV. There's some YouTube clips here and there we can see as well. But for American listeners, we have American listeners who are our podcast. It's still in reruns on DIY Network. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, DIY doesn't live anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
It was consumed by the Magnolia Network.
Oh, it doesn't live? Okay. All right.
But that's all part of the Discovery umbrella. So you can watch it. I have Discovery Plus through Amazon Video. I think you can get Discovery Plus on any sort of streaming device. And so the whole catalog is out there for streaming and download and stuff. But if you still have traditional cable, I think there's reruns all the time still. Yeah. I don't know what you'll have to check where the Magnolia Network is.
When DIY was still going, they put you guys on at 4:30 in the morning. I said, what are you getting up at 4:30 in the morning for? You got an upset stomach or something? I mean, I'm not even thinking about it at that point. I'm still in REM. But they would record it, and so it's still being shown, which is a plus for us, just because there's a lot of people out there in the world that haven't seen it, and people are discovering us every day and through that medium, and it's like the work's been done. And now it's paying off more. And some people say, I binged 11 seasons. I said, oh, my God, you're never going to get that time back.
No.
11 seasons straight. You know, I mean, I haven't even calculated, but that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
They are 22 minutes long. That's without commercials.
That would be quick math. 143 episodes, 20 minutes of Salvage Dogs an episode. So 2,800 minutes.
Okay, somebody did the math.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's some fine ciphering there, boy.
Like
Well, we would love to get up to Canada and see you. We'd love to get up to Canada and see you guys. Yeah. We've got a product that you guys might want to carry, and we're working with Canadian Economic Development right now. It's our furniture paint. And shameless plug here. We built a line of furniture paint. Probably 6 years ago with Woodcraft, and we were the brand, and we bought it back from them, and now we own it, and we're marketing it locally, nationally, but our first shot into international marketing of the product is Canada. So
really,
and it's really good stuff. Yeah, we used to sell. I won't mention her name, brand. She's from England. Starts with Annie, and I'll let y'all do the work because I got sued by her, but that's another story.
Oh, no, yes.
That was a very litigious thing, but it's a paint that it has good adhesion, it's got self-leveling. I mean, it's just, if you want to paint furniture, this is the stuff, and it's coming to a Ontario near you. You know, we're working with the Canadian government about it's about exporting Virginia products to Canada. So I'll send you guys, Tay's got all your information. I'll send you some contact information. But if you're interested, you can go to blackdogsalvage.com and go to our furniture paint link, and you can get all the information there, because it's a lot of cool colors. We sat around a table one day with, I think, a couple bottles of wine and I think three or four women, and we came up with the names for it. So, nice. You know, I mean, what can go wrong? You know, now it's sitting around the table and drinking a bourbon. So I'm not a wine drinker anymore. Yeah, but anyway, that's that dovetails with what you guys do with the upcycling product that you do, you know, you do. You can add, you know, side of the road finds and turn them into something new that you know is pleasing, and the colors are fun and it's easy to use. So that's my last shameless plug for you guys, our only shameless plug, because you know we got a warehouse full of it, so I'm trying to find buyers and distributors. So if you're out there in Canada and you want to, or America, and you want to be a distributor, call me, Mike Whiteside.
There you go.
Perfect.
BlackDogSalvage.com.
Awesome.
Always selling.
So I know
Always selling something. Yeah.
You guys busy guys. Yeah. And we really honestly do appreciate, we talked about this at the beginning. We really do find inspiration from what you do at Black Dog Salvage.
That's right.
We love the show. We love the opportunity to connect with you. We were doing the nervous walk around the house before we hit record, because really this is a great moment for us to be able to talk to you guys. Mm-hmm. And you do, like, I think I heard somebody introduce you guys on a TV show, and they were just kind of talking about how great Black Dog Salvage is and all the great things you've done. I think Robert said, yeah, we deserve that. And you do, because you've done a lot of great things in the past.
That sounds
praise.
Accurate. So, that's right. Well, stay humble. As I always said, you know, It's a steep road up, and it's a fast road down. And we're just regular old folk, you know. We're not anything else. It's just
you put your pants on backwards, just like everyone.
Yeah,
else.
That's right. Everybody says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, my yacht's being painted right now, so I got to come to work." You know, but it's not the case. I got a little rowboat in the backyard. But
thank you guys for the very, very kind words. Did you ask everything? Did you get out everything you wanted to get out?
I feel like think we are more than happy with this.
I just like the fact that with what you've done over the years and where we're headed to, and just when people hear, I think that people get inspired, and it helps people realize if they can do it, or if one person can do it, you know, like, why not? I think it's what we're doing for upcycling in general, and just getting the word out inspires people in general to start their own thing, whether it be with wood or textiles or whatever. So
I
think it's great to be that inspiration for someone else. So,
well, remember too, it's all about having fun. It's an enjoyable thing. And that right there in these days and times is, you know, it's worth gold, the weight in gold. It's really important that people understand that, you know, they can do it. And obviously we did it, and we're not experienced carpenters and welders. What Tay is now, but
you have to get experience somehow. Just do it.
Just have fun. Have fun. Put fun in front of everybody, you know, do no harm and have fun. And that's, you know, and don't go in a building you don't own and take stuff, because that's called grand larceny. I don't want to be anybody inspired. Mike said I could take that. I said, nope, I didn't.
Yeah.
I said, no such thing. You know, pay for your salvage or offer to haul it off for someone. But it's been great talking to you guys, because it's just
awesome.
You know, like-minded individuals, and you're north of the border of us, and we appreciate you guys holding down the northern flank.
Come on up. We'll get you some Canadian beer, some maple syrup, and a beaver tail.
Okay. I need the hat.
You know,
I need the beaver tail hat. That's it. Yeah, the Canadian beer, Black Blue and Molson's. That's the two beers I know.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe we can find a hockey game somewhere.
I want the poutine. I'm coming back for the poutine.
That's right. Poutine, yes.
There's no one here that sells poutine, and I think we did Christmas in Montreal one year, and we all came back going, we need to start a poutine restaurant.
We call it gravy where I'm from.
Gravy and just cheese curds, right?
Yeah. See, that's all it is. We've been doing it. We just didn't call it that.
As soon as you come to the border, they hand you a bowl of poutine. That's how it happens.
They should. They should. Here, and then a card for a cardiologist.
Yeah.
You're going to have heart disease. So, you know, we got socialized medicine up here, so you're in good shape.
That's why they have
there you go.
That's right. That's right. They can afford it.
We got to get our butts down to Roanoke, because you guys are just Yeah, it's going to be fun. We can't wait to come down and see Black Dog Salvage in person.
Well, let us know. Come stay at the book the Stone House next door. It's right there.
The Stone House. Nice. Yes. Perfect. For sure.
And let's follow up. We appreciate appreciate you guys taking time to give us a call. And,
same. And thank you.
Don't worry about the nervousness because we just regular folk.
That's right. So we have Mike Whiteside, Tay Whiteside, Black Dog Salvage, Lift Arc Studios, joining with us today on the Upcycle Canada podcast. Our heroes in life and gentlemen and scholars, and we appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy day for us. So thank you both. And we will be listening to the podcast, and we will be going back upstairs and rewatching all 11 seasons right now because we have a few minutes.
A couple minutes before the next thing.
What are you guys, under lockdown up there? Come on, you guys have a lot of stuff to do. Well, thank you guys. It was a pleasure.
We want the Black Dog Salvage badge for our fans.
You got it.
That's our goal in life.
You got it.
Thank you guys.
Well,
thanks
for having us on, and good luck with the rest of the podcast.
Hey, how can people find you? Okay, you got a website, right?
Yeah, plug yourself.
Yeah, we're upcyclecanada.ca is our website. And our podcast is the Upcycle Canada podcast.
Okay.
We're in 36 countries right now.
36. Wow.
1,200 downloads in four months, which we're pretty happy with.
Yeah. And
we have people listening in Iran and Egypt and Dubai. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So cool. It's a small world these days. Well, you can find us at blackdogsalvage.com. And that's our location. And Tay's at
LiftArcStudios.com, but Instagram and Facebook is more accessible and post there more regularly. So check us out. Excellent. Follow everyone. Awesome. If you're listening out there, follow everyone involved because it goes a long way.
Yeah, it helps us continue to do this. And again, thank you guys for your time and stay safe up there. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. So much. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See ya.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life. dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aw, it's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.